Give you an update. Teb and Carrie and Mama and the girls have landed in Israel. And I think they are, of course, the time difference is a little different, so it's a kind of an evening service for them. But they are having church where Jesus fed the 5,000, she said in a text message earlier. So you can kind of, but it does feel a little bit different without them here today. And be prayerful for them as they travel. We've also want to announce, and I'm not taking too much away from our prayer at the end, but Kristen is in the process of having her baby right now. And so she's in labor, and so we want to be prayerful for her. And but anyway, today we have a special guest. Russell Rigsby is with us. He is the minister at North Boulevard that deals with MTSU and their campus ministry. It's called MT316. His wife Abby is with us as well. And both were students of mine, and so I know them from MTCS, and I'm happy to have them with us. Russell's going to kind of introduce himself a little bit better, but they're both have lots of ties to the area, and we're glad that they're here. So, Russell.
Good morning. And happy Father's Day. You actually can't say that one back to me because I'm not a dad, but happy Father's Day to everybody. Let me give you a little bit more of an introduction about myself. Since I'm going to be preaching to you, you probably want to know who I am. My name is Russell Rigsby, and I went to Middle Tennessee Christian School from K through 12. And my wonderful parents sent me to MTCS for the private education to get a better education. And so in the fourth grade, a young man named David Hunziker came to MTCS. Some of you may know David. I think he does some of the VBS stuff here, and he's preached here a couple times. He's now one of the ministers at the West Campus of North Boulevard. And so he came to MTCS in the fourth grade. We became pretty good friends. Fast forward to the seventh grade, and by the way, I've given this story many, many times, and we have together at different events and services, so I've got his permission to tell this story. But there was a family traumatic event, we'll call it, in his family in the seventh grade. And because of that, he ended up spending the nights, like a lot of nights with me during the week. And so he would always do sleepovers at either my house or another guy's named John, his house. We were always together, though, constantly together. And so he ended up opening a Bible one night, you know, instead of playing video games or wrestling around or playing basketball or whatever we were doing. He ends up opening a Bible, and he starts sharing the story of Jesus with me. And so fast forward again to the ninth grade, he's taken me to his church, which at that time was Las Casas Church of Christ, right down the road. And so he was taking me there. David West was the preacher. I don't know if any of you know David, but on a Wednesday night, he was doing a Bible class. It was January the 16th, 2005. And I decided then and there that I wanted to be baptized. And so David Hunziker actually baptized me. And then I went on throughout high school. I was about freshman year, and then went throughout high school, graduated from MTSU and with a business degree, decided that I wanted to be a minister because, by the way, this is kind of a fun story. So after college, I decided that I needed to like settle down with a wife, right? So I decided, well, okay, where's the best place to find a good godly wife? Well, I'd gone to MTCS, and so I thought, church. So I start going to a different college ministry every night of the week. Just really to meet girls, which is unfortunate. And so there was a particular Tuesday night at The Point, at New Vision Baptist Ministries, The Point, when I met Abby Magnuson, who is the daughter of John Magnuson over at North Boulevard. And we met, we started dating, and now she's my wife, Abby Rigsby, over there. So that's kind of fun. Okay, so today I want to talk to you about fatherhood. Even though I'm not a dad, and you're like, well, who is this guy going to talk to me about fatherhood? He's not even a dad. But What you probably know, you already know, is that fatherhood has an eternal consequence. Whatever that consequence, bad, good, it doesn't matter. It has an eternal consequence. What we do actually matters as fathers. I want to give you a few stats that I ran across. 85% of prisoners in the prison system grew up without fathers. If you grew up without a father, you're 4 to 5 times more likely to smoke. If you grew up without a father, you're twice as likely to drop out of high school. If you grew up without a father, you're 4 times more likely to need help for behavioral and emotional problems. 75% of adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. And 3 out of 4 teenage suicides occur where the teen grew up without a father. And the last thing I want to do, we could all leave here feeling pretty guilty, or at least some of us can, because there may be families in here that are in families without father situations, whether there was a painful divorce or whether there was maybe the husband has passed away, or maybe you had a child before you got married. The last thing I want, there's no condemnation. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I don't want to make you feel bad. I don't want us to leave here feeling guilty. What I'm trying to say is that it is never too late to become a dad. So you know there's a difference between fathers and dads. Everybody in here had a father. Everybody in here had a father, but not everybody in here had a dad. As one of the lucky ones to have had a dad, I can say it matters. And those of us who did have dads, it matters that we have dads growing up. So I don't want to make you feel guilty. By the way, if you're a grandfather, maybe, and your child's all grown up, or maybe you don't have a child and you're never going to have a child, this lesson is still for you, because you can still become a dad to someone. I know at North Boulevard, and I'm sure in this congregation too, there's families that they would love for a wise older man to come in and talk to their, you know, say, hey, can I invest in your child? They would love that. So don't use that as an excuse. All right. So Scripture actually talks a lot about fatherhood. And it's funny because Paul, who we're going to be talking about today, Paul was, as far as we know, didn't have a wife, and he was childless. And so he was actually, though, the one that talks the most about being a father and what it looks like to be a father, because he considered himself, and we still consider him, to be a father of millions of Christians now. So, all right. So one more time. I don't have any kids, but I'm going to talk today on the basis of having an awesome dad, who's sitting right over there, by the way, having an awesome dad, and I know what fatherhood looks like because I had a great dad. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 is where we're going to be. We're going to really be like verses 7 through 12-ish. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, so if you have a Bible, go ahead and pull it out. If you have a phone, go ahead and pull it out. The Bible app, you know what you're doing. Okay. One more thing, as you're turning to 1 Thessalonians 2, it's good to know that Paul frequently referred to himself as a father, like I said a minute ago. Just some examples, 1 Corinthians 4:15, Paul says, I became your father in Christ Jesus. Galatians 4, my dear children. 2 Corinthians 6, I speak to you as my own children. This is Paul talking. He refers to Timothy as my son in the faith. What we're going to read today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I think it's in verse 12, he calls them his children again. So he says that he dealt with them as a father deals with his own children. I'm just going to read verses 7 through something, probably 12, and then we'll go from there. All right, verse 7, instead we were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and our hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden on anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. All right, just a little backstory here. So Paul loved going to the urban centers. You know, he went to Corinth and he went to Thessalonica, Galatia. He always went to the big cities, which is why the gospel spread so fast, because there were big population centers. And so Paul would, he went to Thessalonica. Thessalonica today, by the way, is the second largest city in Greece. It's a major port city today for Athens. And it's a very important city. It was back then as well. It was a big city, many, many, many people. He goes there, he plants a church, he starts a church in Thessalonica, and then he had to leave in 3 weeks because the Jewish opponents came in, and he actually had to leave in the middle of the night because he was being driven out by some Jews. So Paul, he starts this church in Thessalonica, and he has to leave in 3 weeks. That's all he gets with him. And so he writes two letters to them, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, because they're his children. He cares about them. He's concerned about them. He's worried about them. And so he writes two letters. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul reminds them how he fathered them and treated them like his own children. And in the process, Paul provides a great role model on how to be an awesome dad. So let's go back to verse 7. We're going to take this step by step, see exactly what he said to do. So verse 7. He said, instead, we were like young children among you. Some versions will say that we were gentle among you. So the Greek word there that is gentle, young children, it means both. So you could say young children, you could say gentle. A lot of people say, and it says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children. The Greek word there actually is breastfeed. So as a mother breastfeeds for her child. Just imagine how delicate and how tender and how gentle that has to be. And so the first thing Paul says, he's referring to his own fatherhood to these people, is be gentle. So dads that are in here, how gentle are you? Ask yourself that question. Are you a gentle dad? And it would be fun to even ask your wife or your children, like, go home and say, hey, am I a gentle dad? What do you think? Because I imagine that would be a funny response, whatever they say. It would probably be an interesting and fun response. But are you a gentle dad? So men, what I know about men is we have a lot of testosterone. And we have a lot of anger built up in us sometimes. A lot of men that I know have a lot of anger. And so if you have anger built up in you, it's hard to be gentle, right? So I don't know, if you have anger built in you, you have to get rid of it. I don't know how you get rid of it. Maybe you have to go see a counselor, or maybe you go talk to Teb or something. But somehow or another, you have to get rid of the anger before you can be gentle. Another thing is if you're stressful all the time. If work is making you stressful. My dad worked at Nissan for 32 years, is that right? 32 years. And all as I was growing up, he was working at Nissan, night shift, day shift. I mean, he was a manager there, so he was working 60 hours a week sometimes. But you know what was crazy is he never brought the stress of work home with him. I never knew how stressful work was as I was growing up, nor should I have. I was a kid. So your children shouldn't know what stress is. Your children shouldn't see the stress that you've got on you in your daily lives. It's hard to be gentle when you're always stressed. So if you're stressed all the time, figure out a way to cope with it. I think one of the ways that my dad coped with it was he gave me the gift of laughter. My dad and I growing up, man, we were always laughing about everything. Every time we would turn around, we'd laugh about something. Something else we'd laugh about. Laughter is a great way to be gentle. It's a great way to show gentleness to your children. All right, let's go to verse 8. So verse 8 says, so we cared for you because we loved you so much. And here's the key. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So listen up. Nothing takes the place of you, right? in your jobs, whatever job you have, let's say it was my dad. My dad with Nissan, he just retired, and they replaced him very easily. You're all in your jobs, you're all very easily replaceable. Even if you own your own business, you have customers that are basically your bosses because they're buying everything. You have customers, and those customers, if you were to close your doors and go out of business or just quit altogether, they would find another business to go to. If you're a lawyer, they'd find another lawyer. If you work for a law office, the law office would find another lawyer to work for them. You're all replaceable in your jobs, but your child only gets one shot at their daddy. They only get one shot at their dad. So nothing takes the place of you in your child's life. No gift, no amount of money, no rules, no programs, no sports, no competitions. You can enroll them in whatever you want, but you are what's most important. So again, with me, I'm going to use myself as an example because I'm a visitor here and I don't know you guys a whole lot. Not very well. I hope to get to, though. So with me, my dad, when he would come home, he would go outside and we'd throw baseball together. He'd stay up late night and he'd study with me. He would he would enroll me in sports programs and all that. And none of that's bad, but he would always drive me there. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But, and by the way, hold on. So you don't have to give the world to your child for them to love you. A lot of people are like, man, I don't go to Disney World enough for my child, and that's why they don't love me, and I don't take my kid here or do this with, I don't, that, none of that's really important. What's really important is you spending quality time with them. There was another one of those stats that I came across earlier. It said the average American father spends 7 minutes a day with their children. 7 minutes a day. Don't let that be you. Make that decision. Don't let that be you. All right, go to verse 9. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We work day and night in order for you not to be a burden on anyone while we preach the gospel to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy and blameless we were among you who believed. So, Paul, as a father in Christ, he protected and he provided. Now, a lot of guys, especially in the American South, we get the protection part, right? I would say, like, in North Boulevard, David Young, he always talks about everybody. There's probably 100 or 200 people that are carrying, or more. Like, it's like half the church, right? They're all carrying. I mean, that's just the way we are in the American South. We all get the protection part, especially men, like especially fathers. I'm not a father, so I can't speak to it a whole lot, but I can imagine, especially if you have a daughter, because you know how other guys think, you get the protection part. So I don't think we have to talk a whole lot about protection except for boundaries. I don't think the American father does a good enough job with setting fair and reasonable boundaries for their children. Safe, fair boundaries. So there was a study done a couple of years ago by this group who went to several elementary schools, and they took away the fences at the elementary schools. They wanted to see if they took away the fences while these kids were playing on the playground, would that make them more free and want to play around more, or, you know, what would happen? And so they took away the fences, they took away the boundaries, and what happened was all the kids gathered up in the middle of the playground because they were scared. They were afraid. And so somehow having that fence, having that boundary, actually gave them more freedom because it was a fair boundary. It provides safety for them. That's what you want to provide for your children, is fair and reasonable boundaries. Also, by the way, you want to, going back a little bit to the gentleness, but also to the boundaries part, you want to treat your child like a caterpillar. I heard this one time. You want to treat your child like a caterpillar who's becoming a butterfly, right? So you want to provide the cocoon. If you don't provide boundaries, if you don't have that cocoon in place, something will attack the butterfly and it'll die. If you try to make that butterfly into your own butterfly and try to make it your own kind of thing, it'll die. If you try to do certain things, if you're too rough with it, it'll die. But if you provide a safe environment for that, and like a real cocoon, God will do something amazing with it, and there will be a butterfly that emerges that is so beautiful. Okay, I just heard that one time. I thought I'd bring it in. I'm so glad to be with you guys. Anyway, all right. The other thing, though, in verse 9, it says, we work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. So the other thing is we need to be providing the good news of Jesus to our children. Dads, when your children look at you, they need to see a man of God when they see you. I'm going to leave it at that, actually. But that's what they need to see. Whatever you teach your kids, whether you're going to teach them how to be a professional baseball player, whether you're going to teach them how to, I mean, whatever it is, to farm, whatever you're teaching them, model Christ to them as well. That's what they need. All right. So, like I said earlier, I was extremely blessed to have a dad growing up. And he was an amazing dad. Now, my dad, he's right over there, like I said. He's pretty buff. Like, he's a buff dude. And a matter of fact, when I was in kindergarten, I would always, you know, I don't know if y'all did this when you were in kindergarten, but you always say, like, my dad's stronger than your dad kind of thing. And my dad can lift a truck with his pinky and all this kind of stuff. Well, my dad was stronger than all the kids' dads, you know, because he was always really buff. He's a big dude. He worked out all the time. Well, recently, he never did any cardio until recently. Recently, he starts running a lot. So this dude starts running races. And now he's done two marathons, full marathons. The first marathon he did was in Nashville, and I was not able to go to that one. But I went to the one in Panama City Beach. And the second marathon he did, it was an extremely hot day. So it's like high 80s in December in Panama City Beach. And I was not running, so I was just there to kind of watch and support. And so I decided I'm going to get a towel, and I'm going to just drive up the course and wait for him. And I give him the towel as he runs by, and he's wiping sweat off of his face and all that kind of stuff. And so eventually, at mile 21, I had decided I was going to run the rest of the way with him. He didn't know this, but I had put on my running clothes, and 5 miles to me is a long way. So I'm going to run from 21 to 26.2 with my dad. So I got my running clothes on because it's so hot, and I could tell he was struggling and all that. And so I start running with him. And we ran those 5 miles together. And I don't think I could have done it if it wasn't for him. And I don't think he could have done it if it wasn't for me. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously. I don't know. Maybe he probably could have. Okay, but the reason I did that, it's like, so we had some friends with us, and they said, why'd you do that? And I didn't have a real good answer for them because I hadn't really thought about it. But as I think about it, the reason I really did that was because he had supported me all my life. He took me to Boy Scouts on Monday nights. He took me to karate. He did you name it, basketball things and baseball things. I mean, he would stay up real late at night, even though he had to wake up at 4 a.m. to study with me and play baseball with me. He sacrificed and did so much to support me throughout my whole life. The thing I wanted to do was do the same for him. And so when I saw my dad struggling, I went and... Now, I tell you all this not to say, not to brag or to talk about how great of a dad my dad is, or just say how much better of a dad is than your dad is, which he probably is, but no, I'm just kidding again. I say it all to say two things. One, dads out there, you want that kind of a relationship with your children. But what it takes is the most important thing that it takes is you to give up your life as Paul gave up his life for the church. You give up your life for your children. That's how you get it. But you also get it through gentleness and through providing and protecting and displaying Christ to them. All right, the second thing I wanted to say by that story was that sons and daughters that are in here that have dads who are living and that you know, do something back for them, because they gave up so much for you. They've given up so much. They do so much for you. Give up some of your life for them. I don't know that I did that enough growing up, but I tried to do that at the marathon. But do that today. Do that today, for sure. And a matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and close this thing out early, because you can go ahead and spend the rest of the day with your dads. It's been a joy being with you here at Milton Church of Christ. I am super, super excited to have been here. Let's all stand, I guess, and sing together as we close out.